Welcome, everyone. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, my man, Brian Fobbs. He is a NASM certified personal trainer and Yoga Alliance RYT 500. And his mission is to bridge the gap between yoga and sports performance. So, Brian, my man, welcome. Tell us who Brian is.
Oh, thanks for having me. First and foremost, Reggie. I am a former athlete, played football at the high school and college level. After, you know, NFL didn't work out, I discovered my passion for health, wellness, fitness, as somebody who naturally just always worked out and had to stay in tip-top shape for football, I really realized that I had a gift and I wanted to share this gift of health and wellness with my community. Aside from that, you know, as you mentioned, registered yoga instructor, 500 hours, and over the last 2 years, I've been diving deep into that space. And it's just been an awesome journey, you know, to transition and integrate and implement my fitness, my fitness expertise with my yoga expertise as well. And so, you know, I'm just here to share the gift of knowledge with you all. And yeah, man, that's what it's all about.
Well, I appreciate you. I thank you for blocking out time in your busy schedule to have this conversation with me. For those of you who follow me, you understand how important I feel that it is to look at things holistically. So one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Brian before you guys is, again, because, you know, he understood that there was more than just the one-dimensional approach to just fitness and how that also ties in with the mind-body connection. So thank you again. And I do have a few questions that you and I will kind of serve up, because I think that it will bring more clarity to those specifically looking to move more, but also to move better for their individual wants and needs. And I hope that the two of us can provide some trusted data, not only to the importance of movement, but also how they could potentially incorporate this into their daily lives at whatever their fitness level is, and ultimately, you know, why it matters for them to move more, and potentially also look at their movement as it relates to a mind-body connection. So with that, I will toss out my first question for you, Brian.
Lay it on me.
All right. How important is it to tailor fitness routines to individual goals and fitness levels? And what, if there are any, risk of not doing so?
That's a great question. I would start off by saying that no one person is the same. So What might work for you might not work for the other person or the next person, and vice versa. And, you know, a lot of times people see things on social media and they take that and they run with it. And they're like, oh, you know, I need to try that. And sometimes, a lot of times, their body has no business doing the movements that they're seeing, especially from a standpoint of like risk of injury, right? So, you know, ultimately what might work for you might not work for the next person. So individualizing your training plan according to your specific fitness goals is essentially going to help you stay consistent mm-hmm. with that. And the risks, as far as the risks of not doing so, like I said, you run the risk of injury doing some movement that you might not have any business doing. And I think another risk is, you know, ultimately not sticking to the program, right? Mm-hmm. Aside from that, you when you don't stick to the program, or you might end up falling off from your program, your training plan a little bit quicker than you might not have otherwise, if you would have just focused on the things that are tailored to you and your goals.
Yeah. You touched up on so many nuggets in there. One of which, as you and I have talked about in the past, you see clients of varying ages. I have clients of varying ages. But the one thing that I think I hear often, or I witness often, is how we tend to look at social media and see other people doing things, and we just automatically assume from what we see them doing and how they look that that is something that, oh, if I do said thing, I will look like that as well. What's your experience on that theory when it relates to, say, someone in their 30s versus someone in their 50s? What are some of the risks that you naturally see could be an impact of, hey, I see this 25-year-old person on Instagram who is doing these wild moves, and look at those abs. I need to start doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say no one body is the same. No one body is the same. You know, as if you're talking about somebody who's in their 50s versus somebody who's in their 20s or 30s, their metabolisms are completely different. Mm-hmm. So to try and do the same things, you might, from a movement standpoint, be able to do the same things, but the results are going to be drastically different. Mm-hmm. You also don't know what that person is intaking from a nutrition standpoint.
Right.
That's going to play a huge factor in what they look like. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to take into consideration genetics, you know? So these are all factors that return to the fact that you kind of got to do your own thing. You know, I would say doing you is always going to be the best. It's awesome to use social media for inspiration, and you can take things from here and there, but to look at somebody else and think that you are going to be able to attain the same physical appearance as them based off of four exercises that they posted in one workout, you know, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. No, you and I are singing the same song, and you mentioned it earlier. You don't know that person's journey. You're just seeing a 5 to 15 second clip of a routine. You don't know what their sleep quality is. You don't know what their nutrition is. You don't know all of the other components that are giving them that output. So it's so important that people understand you have your own unique individual journey that you have to take. See it as inspiration or motivation, but you gotta have your own game plan. So,
yep, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yes. All right, second question. What role does consistency play in achieving fitness goals, and how can people stay motivated over the long term? So what does consistency play towards achieving goals and how can people stay motivated over the long term?
Yeah, that's another great question. I would say consistency is, it plays a huge role in you being able to achieve your goals. And one of the best ways to stay consistent, in my opinion, is to just start slow. Whenever you start slow, you're always going to be able to progress. A lot of times I see people do too much. For example, New Year's resolutions. Everybody, New Year's comes around, everybody's all gung-ho, woo, we're going to hit the gym, we're going to go crazy, we're going to do our thing. This is the year. This is my year.
Yeah.
And they do all the things. They got their 50 saved workout posts from Instagram. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is you go from not moving at all to excessive movement, and you haven't trained or prepped your body to do these type of gross exercises or gross movements. And then you hit the gym, you know, 2, 3, maybe 5 days straight, you hit it hard, and then you wonder why you can't move for the next 2 weeks. And you know, and then you just lose that. It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. It's the opposite of what we're going for, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. I go hard 1 week, I'm off for 2 weeks because I can't move. I'm too sore. Now, the time I'm taking off, I'm losing any sense of progress that I would have had. So I like to, you know, go off of concepts such as progressive overload. You start here and then you gradually increase your workload, your volume as the program goes on. In my opinion, that's one of the best ways to do it. And like I mentioned earlier, just starting slow, man. You got to start slow. If you really want to see results and stay consistent, you start slow and you build off of it.
Couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, that's actually, in my opinion, a concept that applies across the board, whether it's nutrition, whether it's rest. You crawl, you walk, you run. That's how we came into this world.
And then you run.
Yeah, that's how we came into this world. Like, that's the process. You slowly get into things. You don't get in your car and immediately hit the gas. You work your way up to the speed that you're trying to consistently maintain. And you have to apply that to this lifestyle as well. So lots of nuggets there. All right, third question. All right, can you share some success stories of clients who have significantly improved their health and well-being through movement? So, you know, you and I know in our spaces that success stories are key to people, you know, being able to see that this philosophy could work. So what are some of your success stories that you have been able to assist clients with improving their health and well-being, specifically whether it's through movement, performance training? What kind of stories can you provide for folks?
Yeah, so when I first started, I was blessed enough to have a network of athletes that I went to high school with who transitioned to professional sports. One in the NFL and one, she played overseas. She played basketball overseas. And both of them, because I asked them for testimonials, and both of them had in their testimonials said how they had never, that when they were training with me, they were in the best shape of their life. And specifically Jasmine Davis, this was the overseas basketball player. She had a like a clause, I think, in her contract that said if she passed the conditioning test by a certain time, she actually would get a bonus in her contract. And so she did. She passed that test with flying colors. She said she did it. It was no sweat off her brow. And, you know, that helped her pockets. You know, she was able to get compensated financially for being fit, being in better shape than what they expected her to be in, what the expectation was. And that was due to the hard work, the effort that she put in. Same with Colin Johnson, who now plays for the Chicago Bears. And mind you, like, these are professional athletes. I was putting them through it. But they went through it, and they pushed themselves. And when you push yourself and you force your body to adapt, there's not only this physical adaptation that occurs, but there's something that occurs in your mental. You push yourself to a certain point. You do these hard things. Naturally, your physical abilities are going to increase. Naturally, what happens when your physical ability increases, especially at the professional level, your confidence increases. And from a mental standpoint, having confidence in your play and in your skill set is going to take you so far. And I feel like the training that we did was able to provide that for them, that mental fortitude, that confidence within themselves. I had a client also not too long ago who was she was a stay-at-home mom. You know, she wasn't going on the gridiron or shooting hoops or anything crazy like that. But she was dealing with her own day-to-day issues and the workouts that we would do. That was kind of like her getaway, her escape from all of the problems and issues that she was encountering on a day-to-day basis. And that in itself, you know, we do so much as human beings for other people. Mm-hmm. And this was one thing that she was able to do for herself. This was, you know, that hour, that 75 minutes where she knew she could kind of get away from her problems and just focus on herself. And from a mental health standpoint, it goes so far. It goes so far, you know, just being able to put yourself first. You know,
yes.
This one part of my day, I'm putting myself first, and no one can take that from me. And yes. That in itself, aside from, you know, that's more important to me, like, than any physical gain. She was seeing results because we were seeing each other 3 times a week, and she was pushing herself as well. But the mental health aspect, like, you just sometimes you don't understand as a trainer what it is you're doing for these people's mental health, because you can see results physically, but you can also see results mentally. And, you know, same thing, building up her confidence as well. So that's
awesome. Go ahead. That's awesome, because you just struck onto a topic that I know I have a pretty large clientele base of women who are over 40. And that is a running theme that I run into with my clients often. And I refer to it as putting your oxygen mask on first. And I say that to a lot of my clients because a lot of them are mothers. And there is this innate genetic trait that they have in taking care of others, be it spouses, parents, children, and they are so conditioned to put themselves last. And something you said in that there is a reward that you mentioned for each and every one of your clients, whether it was athletes or, like you said, the everyday, you know, at home mom, where you moving more consistently, crawling, walking, jogging, running, you are building up this not just physical stamina, but mental stamina that is going to, for some, be the first time that you put yourself first, or at least you move yourself higher up on the priority list. And the reward is not only are you getting healthier, but you're also now considering your needs and your wants. And the reward is that, beside the fact that when I look in the mirror, I see something more pleasing, but oh my God, I'm sleeping better, or I'm feeling more confident in myself and in my ability, and my thinking is becoming clearer. And I don't think a lot of people, when they think of movement and when they think of performance, often think about the flip side of not just the what I see in the mirror and what I'm able to do, but on the inside, what that's doing. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of people don't make that connection when it comes to movement. They just see it as this, oh, I've got to do this because I'm trying to be stronger or faster, or my doctor says I need to work out. They don't make that connection of mind, body, and what movement does in that regard.
I agree 100%, you know. Even in my own personal journey, the more I move, the more I connect deeper to myself, you know? And I've known this about myself for a while, but I definitely fall under the category of people pleaser. And the more I do yoga, the more I practice, the more I realize like what my body needs. And it's a lot easier, ironically, for me to say no to things that it doesn't need or things that I don't need. And, you know, it goes, that in itself for me goes beyond the physical, you know. You end up connecting to yourself on a spiritual level, and you are able to stand up for yourself. So I agree with you 100%.
So for folks listening, there are just two things that really kind of jumped out to me. One, yoga is something that, myself included, we should all look at more. And two, for those of you out there who are in corporate America, which a lot of you are, any of you who are running corporations, think about incentives. Just like you talked about the athlete who got the incentive for being healthy, what if corporations started putting incentives in place that would reward their employees for being healthier? Who doesn't like being rewarded? So just saying, corporations, you want people to call out less, you know, be healthier on the job. How about you guys come up with some type of incentives for folks to actually be healthier? Just saying.
Show up and show up enthusiastically.
Yes.
On the job.
Just saying, folks out there running these Fortune 500 companies. All right. Question number four. How does physical activity contribute to mental well-being? And what changes have you seen in your clients' mental health? So I know you kind of touched on that, but, you know, what else would you share when it comes to, again, that bridge between movement, physical activity, and how it improves mental well-being?
So that's, man, you just got all the great questions today, don't you?
Hey, man, you know, if I could get you here, man, I wanted to make sure I made it worth your time.
Yeah. So I would say, wait, repeat that question for me one more time.
So how does physical activity, or, you know, be it performance or movement, contribute to mental well-being, and what changes have you seen in your clients' mental health specifically?
Okay, so Deion Sanders once said, look good, you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You feel good, you play good. Mm-hmm. You play good, what they do, Reggie?
They pay you.
They pay good. Exactly. Pay. So with that said, I think in order to look good, you have to do the work. You know, you have to put in the work from a movement standpoint, from a working out standpoint. These are all things that need to occur in order for you to feel comfortable in your own skin, for you to feel like you look good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's as far as just, and I'm going to give you some insight a little bit, because I don't know who's watching this, but for beginners, if you are just starting your fitness journey, it's going to take you, and you're incorporating strength training and whatnot into your routine, it's going to take you 2 to 4 weeks before you start to physically see the results, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking at fat loss, okay, this might take 4 months or longer, okay? Mm-hmm. And it also comes down to factors that go into you actually seeing these results from a physical standpoint. Your sleep, your effort, and your nutrition. Mm-hmm. All of these factors play a role in getting you to a point to where you feel like, you know, you're seeing the progress that you want and getting closer to looking the way that you want to look. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, that's what I would say. And everything else, it builds off of it, right? You look good, your confidence is going to go up. Your confidence mm-hmm. goes up. You feel good. Mm-hmm. And this goes beyond just the gym. This can be applied to all aspects of life, you know, mm-hmm. going back to your corporate statement, right? Mm-hmm. They gonna pay you good if you showing up with an enthusiastic, you know, energy. Mm-hmm. And you look good, feel good, play good. Yeah, performance. That goes into performance, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel good, you're going to want to perform. You're going to be more likely to perform when you go to the workplace. And then when you perform, now you can fight for that raise. And mm-hmm. now you can get that pay good aspect of it. So, yeah, man, that's my take on that.
And I love what you did there on the performance. You know, performance doesn't necessarily mean running a route or, you know, shooting a 3-point jumper. Performance is performance. How are you performing, you know, at home? How are you performing on the job? That is still your performance, and your mental health is oftentimes the driving factor behind the output of that performance, be it positive or negative. So I think that's worth reminding folks that performance isn't just, you know, how much you're bench pressing, how fast you're running on the treadmill. Performance is how are you showing up? And that showing up is you showing up at home. How are you with the family? How are you chipping in around the house to make the house run? How are you showing up at that 9 to 5? You know, how are you contributing to the success of that entity? Performance is beyond just what we sometimes see in the physical form. So I think that's a great call out. All right, man, we, believe it or not, we're at the last question, man. So what advice does Brian have for someone who has hit a plateau in their fitness journey and feels stuck?
So this is piggybacking off what I had mentioned earlier about progressive overload, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to see those steady, consistent results or the small wins, because the small wins lead up to the big wins and the ultimate, you reaching your ultimate goal. But starting with something that you are capable of doing, you know, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Bench press. It's not about throwing all this weight on. Maybe I start with just the bar, you know, 45, 35 pounds, whatever that is. Maybe I start with the bar. A couple weeks from there, you know, I built up the strength to do that. And then I start to add a little bit more weight. A couple weeks from there, I add a little bit more weight. So you're constantly PRing, if you will, and doing it in a safe fashion, a sustainable fashion. Obviously with progressive overload, there's going to get to a point where you just physically, all right, I'm hitting the 500 pounds on the barbell on the bench. I can't do no more than 500. Okay. We get it. So then you start to add in, you know, things like supersets or different variations of the exercises. And the variations are going to keep you from plateauing. You know, there's so many different exercises for the same muscle group. And I think that, you know, using that concept, incorporating progressive overload into your programming, as well as various exercises for the same targeted muscle group, will also help you to keep from plateauing as well.
I love it. And again, I know that, you know, we have varying ages and genders, and I want to be able to speak to, you know, that 55-year-old male or female who isn't necessarily looking to max out on a bench, but maybe they feel like in their routine of just joyful movement, they feel stuck. You know, I know that there's load and there's intensity that you can always play with. So do you have any thoughts or advice for, say, the 55-year-old female who works a 9 to 5, who, you know, has dinner and the kids to take care of, who maybe her movement strategy is just sort of getting out in nature and doing some walking and maybe some body weight movement, but maybe feels like she's stuck, you know, and needs to spice it up. You know, what would your thoughts be for that?
I think from that perspective, changing up the scenery. A lot of times, if you are doing the same thing, going the same route, you know, like me, man, I'm a Sagittarius. So I like to do a lot, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm always, you know, I'm very adventurous. I want to see new things. I understand not everybody's like that. Okay. But I do think that by you switching up the scenery, maybe you always do your 1 mile run around the house. Okay, well, maybe we drive a mile away, or we go somewhere else and do that 1 mile. Maybe we go to a local track and we do our mile on the track. You know, there's so many different ways that you can change up your scenery to where the routine doesn't seem so mundane. Mm. You're still doing the same distance, mm-hmm. but the scenery is different. And who knows, you know, when you go on, maybe you go hit the track, who knows who you're going to meet, what type of community you come across, or what type of community you can build, or what type of, you know, great people you can meet build your network, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of power in not doing the same exact thing in the same exact place.
I love that, man. The compound effect of simplicity. I feel like that should be the title of a book. And if it doesn't exist, I feel like you and I just created the title of a book. The compound of simplicity. I love the fact that something as simple as changing your scenery can truly change the whole game. And I'm all about simplicity, because simplicity lends itself to consistency. Which lends itself to longevity. And something as simple as, I normally walk out of my house and go right through my neighborhood. Maybe I walk out of my house and now go left. Mm-hmm. And like you said, doing the same mile, but in a different direction, taking a different scenic route, could mean now I've changed my mindset to, this is something new. This is something exciting. This is something different. So now I'm more likely to be compelled and drawn into this new thing. And now I can keep going without stopping, because Absolutely. That's kind of the magic in consistency, is you just every day being able to do it again and do it again. So, man, that's, I love that. That's powerful. So thank you, man, for that. You know, we're coming to the end of this conversation, as I call it. And I want to make sure that we're able to leave folks with, you know, some takeaways. So what are a couple takeaways that you can think of, you know, 2 to 3 maybe, that everyone could walk away with and say, I've got something now I can work on for the next few days, next 3 weeks. What would you leave them with?
Stay open-minded. Stay open-minded to, as you just mentioned, you know, switching up the scenery. Simplicity is key. Mm-hmm. And if not doing this fitness journey for yourself, doing it for your loved ones, doing it for the people that you care about. Because on one end of the spectrum, it is all about you. Mm-hmm. But on the other end of the spectrum, you got to make sure that you are creating this sustainable lifestyle so that you can show up to be your best self for those that you care about and those that you love. That's what I would say.
I love it. And I know you and I have talked about this before, and you know, you had mentioned doing something is always better than doing nothing.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what that something is, whether it's, you know, I have this thing that I share with my clients about creating minimums. You know, we all should have minimums. Hey, you know, perfect example today. You know, I'm normally a in the bed, you know, early kind of person, had a lot of things going on, didn't get a chance to hit that mark last night, woke up later than I normally would this morning, and today was supposed to be leg day. And I know, B, you know, you going into leg day, you got to have the juice to get in there and do what you got to do. And I literally woke up this morning and I said, I don't have the juice. Mm-hmm. But I had the option to just lay in bed, and say, I ain't got it. I ain't doing it today. I'm not doing anything. But I got up, got dressed, put my walking shoes on and said, well, you can't go hit that leg workout that you intended to. Go walk 3.5 miles. So you got to have those minimums. And doing something is better than doing nothing. And then something else you had mentioned a while ago, and I want to make sure I recall this. You said finding out what your interests are from a movement perspective and doing something you enjoy is what will help you be sustainable.
Yeah. So, you know, starting with activities that you like doing, whether that's walking, jogging, pickleball, you know, any type of activity that you look forward to doing that requires you to move and get your heart rate up. That's something that's going to be sustainable for you. That's going to be this, that should be the starting point. Start with the activities. Don't just jump straight into full blown workout, you know, start with these little things. And if you do have that program, supplement active rest days with those activities that you enjoy doing. And this way you can, you know, create a well-rounded program that you will for sure be able to stay consistent with and stick to.
Yeah, I love it. You know, there's this thing, you know, we call joyful movement, you know, because the body doesn't fully understand the difference between you getting on a treadmill and walking for 15, 20 minutes, you know, like you're on a hamster wheel versus you grabbing the kids, cutting up the speakers and dancing to your favorite songs for 10 to 15 minutes. The body doesn't know the difference. Both are going to get the heart rate up. You know, sometimes simple is key. Sometimes doing those simple things like dancing, like nobody's watching for 10, 15 minutes is the thing that's going to keep you consistent and still help you accomplish those goals you're looking for versus you doing the thing you don't enjoy. You know, everybody doesn't enjoy getting on a treadmill for 15 minutes and staring at a wall or staying at the back of somebody else on the treadmill. So you got to find that thing you enjoy. So why is performance and mind-body connection so important? What would you leave with them as to why performance and mind-body connection important?
I would say the mind-body connection is important just from a standpoint of getting to know yourself on an internal basis. A lot of us, we think we know ourselves, but when you, it's one thing to know yourself, it's another thing to know your body. And our body is in constant communication with us. It communicates via pain, it communicates via discomfort, it communicates via sensations that we feel throughout the day. And like I said, it's one thing to know yourself, but when you actually listen to your body through breath and movement, you create this well-rounded knowledge of you as a whole. It's not just about the things that you like or dislike. You know, it's about understanding this is what my body needs. This is what my body doesn't. And I know this because I listen. A lot of people are so disconnected to their body because they don't move, because they don't, you know, take the time to stretch and hear their body out. And these, and our body is your body keeps the score. Your body keeps the score.
Mm-hmm.
And so from, you know, mind, muscle, breath connection, I would say that would be my takeaway. Now, as far as integrating performance into your routine, it's going to spice things up. We talked earlier about how people plateau. Mm-hmm. You want to keep from plateauing, integrate some speed, some agility, some quickness training into your routine. You know, add some speed when you're doing your bench presses. Play with those tempos. Mm-hmm. These are going to be the things that when you switch up, when you have these subtle switches, not only are you working different muscle groups, that's also going to force you to adapt, but you just, it's more engaging, you know, mm-hmm. you have a little bit more fun, and performance training is a great way to supplement cardio. As I mentioned, the speed, agility, quickness, mm-hmm. these are all things that are going to help you just be an overall well-rounded athlete, but it's also going to help you, make your workouts more engaging.
Yeah. I love that. And the performance side of it, be it on the field, in the gym, or in your living room using your own body weight, performance is performance. And by pulling in the mind-body connection, and like you said, having that self-awareness is the cherry on top. So that's awesome, man. I can't thank you enough, man, for having this conversation with me. You know, again, my desire, my hope, my mission is that someone's watching this and got a little bit more data to actually gain more clarity for themselves, which is that self-awareness, so that they can make better decisions that is going to ultimately bring them better results. And I thank you for just laying out more and more personal and client-based data for folks to, you know, pull from it what you may, you know, how it is applicable to your scenario. So folks, I know that you can find me at thewholehealthyyou.com, our YouTube channel, as well as our website. Brian, let the folks know that are really interested in performance training, especially, I know you love working with athletes and just folks in general who are really trying to up their performance, but also with that added twist of the mind-body connection. How can people find you specifically?
Yeah, the best way is going to be via social media. I'm the most active on Instagram, and so they can find me at BFobsFit, and that's BEFOBBS Fit, FIT.
And I'll definitely make sure that we drop that when we air this, so that folks can connect with you, because it is about making sure that people have access to experts and experiences that are going to make them better. And, you know, who am I to withhold people from subject matter expert that you provide, man? So thank you. I really, really appreciate you taking out the time. I know you're a busy man, you know, bouncing back between California and Arizona, man, lifting up these athletes and these young student athletes and all the other clients that you work with, man. So I thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight. And I hope that you and I can do some more of this and have some more interesting conversations.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I greatly appreciate you having me on your platform and just the conscious conversations that we've been able to cultivate here. And, you know, you need anything, man, let me know. I'm here for you. And I appreciate you as well.
All right, man. I appreciate you. Well, hey, folks, thank you for chiming in, and be awesome out there.